to the Mind Your Hormones podcast. My name's Corinne, and I'm a board-certified holistic nutritionist who went from no period from mismanaged PCOS to a regular one. Now I'm obsessed with helping you get hormonally balanced and emotionally aligned. This podcast is all about education, empowerment, real talk, and simple strategies you could start today to find inner peace and overall well-being. I am so excited to be here with you to chat about all things health, hormones, and mindset. Are you ready? Let's get it. Okay, I know you are going to love this episode because so many of you have talked to me about endometriosis and wanting more information about that on the podcast. I had did an episode on endometriosis and I was like, do you want me to do a part two? Some of you reached out and said that you did want me to. So this is technically the part two, but it's even better because this is an interview episode with this woman called her name is Anna Herrera, and it is such a good episode. I cannot wait for you to hear this. She is someone who was diagnosed with stage 4 endometriosis in her mid-20s. She had really, really bad pain. She had 5 surgeries because of it. She went through infertility, surgical menopause. She had a lot of other challenging things that came about because of that. So we're not just talking about tips for endometriosis. She really has the personal experience, which I really wanted to bring on because of course, I could talk to you about what has helped my clients who have endometriosis, but I have not personally gone through it. And I think it's really important to have people on that have personally gone through maybe something that you have gone through, whether you have been diagnosed with endometriosis or you have not, but you have really, really painful periods. We talk a lot about that too with the diagnosis piece as well, because a lot of times that is something that is missing, right? People go years and years who have endometriosis, but they don't get diagnosed because we normalize pain around our period, even though it is 100% not normal. So she had stage 4 endometriosis, chronic pain, 5 surgeries, extreme PMS for years. Like, she really is someone who deeply resonates with that. And because of that, she turned her story into a mission, right? She has created a platform, an educational platform, and a naturopathic hormonal wellness product line that is really all around addressing the root cause of a lot of women's health concerns, like endometriosis, like painful periods, like PMS, like infertility, things like that. Obviously, her product line is, I looked into them. I have not used any of them, but they're all super clean. I love the ingredients. The reviews are amazing. I'm going to put the link in the show notes for you to check them out. I'm going to have a discount code for you as well. Obviously, if I look at something, I'm like, hey, my girls would love this. Let me get a discount for them because I think that you're really going to love it. Again, I haven't personally tried them. I'm always honest with you about that, but I also know that these ingredients are freaking amazing and the reviews that I've read are awesome, and I really love her and her mission, so I really trust what she's doing. So I will put that for you in the show notes, but I'm really excited for you to listen to this episode. She's also the founder of the website and the platform called Hormone University. I think I said that, I'm not even sure, but on there you could find so much information. She has a ton of free resources, a ton of blogs, all this information. She has interviews with experts. That's where you could also get any of the products that you want to get. She has information on menopause, on perimenopause, on birth control, on hormone testing, like on pregnancy, birth, pregnancy loss, sex. Like, there's so much there. It's absolutely incredible of how she's turned this awful story that she has experienced into a mission to educate other women, which you know we're all about that around here. So I'm going to go on and on about her because I love her so much, but I know you're going to love this episode. We really talk about the root cause of endometriosis, things you could do in your nutrition to support yourself, things you could do in your lifestyle, some of the specific products she's used that really helped her, how she went into forced menopause because of the surgeries, what that looks like. I cannot wait for you to listen to this. If you don't have endometriosis, but you do experience painful periods, I know this is going to be helpful for you too. And even if you don't have any of that, it's just a really good story. So I'm excited for you to hop in to this episode. So let's just get started. Okay, Anna, I'm so excited to have you on the show. I know the listener is going to be obsessed with this conversation. I cannot wait to get into it. But before we dive into everything, can you just tell the woman listening who you are, what you do, how you got into everything? Like, give us the background.
Yes, absolutely. So, well, thank you very much, Corinne, for having me.
Yes.
It's such a pleasure, and I'm very, very excited to be here. So it's powerful when we all share our story, since we all have a story, right?
Exactly.
And that's kind of the genesis of the creation of my company. And of course, it all started with a personal health journey.
As it always does.
Yes, exactly. You know, I always say it's like the worst that happens, but it can also be the biggest inspiration in your life.
Totally.
In my case, Corinne, I was diagnosed with stage 4 endometriosis in my mid-20s.
Mm.
I was, for those who have endometriosis, they will understand that I call myself lucky because I was diagnosed pretty much straight away.
Yeah.
An amazing doctor that it was just one of those one in a million that stays with you, and they explain everything to you, and they...
Not common.
Exactly. Very not common at all. Yeah. And it takes an average of 7 years for endometriosis to get diagnosed. So wow. It's a crazy, crazy situation. And for me, well, that journey was many years of excruciating pain. So I was in pain 50% of my time, around 2 weeks out of time. I had a corporate career. I was at the time based in London, and I was traveling around the world. I was working for personal care brands, and I had to open markets in different parts of the world. So traveling was a total nightmare for me.
Yeah.
And just, you know, horrified every time my period was coming, not just because of the pain, which was very debilitating, but also because the periods were very, very heavy. So I was always like, oh my gosh, paranoid. I was going to, you know, walk into a meeting and yeah, exactly. And stain my clothes. And so, yeah, I went through 5 surgeries. So
wow.
Really tough. Many years. I still kind of choke when I think about it, because it was extremely difficult to deal with, not just from a physical perspective, but from a psychological perspective.
Yeah. And now when you got diagnosed, do you think part of the reason also why it takes 7 years to get diagnosed is because pain is just normalized, so people don't, you know, address it? That's like one theory I have around it. That's one part of this question. And then also, were you given any recommendations of what to do, or was surgery kind of the only option?
Yeah. So, okay. Part one of the question is something that we hear a lot at hormone universities, is women telling us, you know, I'm in pain and my doctor is kind of dismissing it as normal.
Mm-hmm.
And period pain should not be normal.
Nope.
You know, look, we all feel the bloating and discomfort. I would say if we label it as discomfort, okay, fine, because it's not a kind of like a normal scenario in your everyday life. But that kind of pain should never be dismissed. So
no.
I think that that's one of the issues as to why factor number one, women have been screaming about this, and they've been told, well, you know, it's a period kind of normal symptom. And now, number two, thankfully, there is a lot more awareness about endometriosis. And so there are a lot more doctors we see that are kind of really researching this area. So we're going into that direction. But we're talking now 18% of women
have endometriosis. Wow. Wow. I want to dive really deep into that, because I know a lot of women experience that. But before we get into that, I want you to be able to finish your story. So you got 5 surgeries, you said. I know you had chronic pain, PMS, like, you know, I'm assuming, like, what
extreme
was that
PMS.
Like? Yeah.
Extreme PMS. I had PMDD. I had infiltration in different organs. Infertility was one of the main issues that I went through. That was very, very tough. Mm. And for those women listening to this that are having difficulty conceiving, I have so much to tell you. But yeah, it is tough, because if you want to go and do a round of IVF, then they have to be extremely careful with the quantity, especially quantity of hormones that they inject you.
Right.
So that's one side. And then the other side is that I always tell women, do your research. There is an incredible amount of innovation coming out on vaginal microbiome and endometriosis and fertility. It's a different subject that we're actually looking into, and it's so exciting.
Wow.
So yeah, infertility, going back to my story, infertility. Yeah. And then it all culminated, the last heart surgery. Basically, I had infiltration in all these organs, including the colon. So it was a horrendous surgery, whereby I had all my reproductive organs taken out. So full hysterectomy. I went into what it's called surgical menopause. Mm-hmm. So,
and how old were you at the time, if you don't mind?
No, of course not. I was 39.
Wow.
So yeah, really tough. And you know, when people talk about menopause, for example, I one of our core philosophies at Hormone University is, let's not talk about age, let's talk about symptoms.
Right, exactly.
A woman at 40 something with surgical menopause, and you can be a woman at 45 with heavy periods, and you can be a woman at 35 with early menopause.
I mean, totally. It's
like labeling based on age is wrong, because people go through different situations. You might have gone through breast cancer and you have induced menopause.
Mm-hmm.
So I always like to just touch on that.
Yeah, I love that.
It is important. There are women out there that are going through this in silence.
Yeah. And what does that look like too? Like, if someone is listening, and maybe, I know there are some women in this community who have had hysterectomies, who have had breast cancer, who are maybe, you know, trying to conceive, but they're starting to have, you know, later in life, but they're starting to have some symptoms. They're curious, maybe it's perimenopause. Like, what are some of those symptoms that someone who is in perimenopause, or, you know, forced menopause, whatever it is, could be experiencing?
Yeah, I'm actually just doing a whole video series. It's 30 days of preparation for menopause.
Oh, amazing.
It's really important that transition, because that transition, depending of course on your health, on your genetics, you might go through that in a period of like 5 years, or it might be a little bit longer than that. And so it's really important, because the one thing that we can't get away from is the ovaries will eventually stop working. Right.
Like, eventually we're all going to be going through
eventually
it.
To all of us. So, so there are consequences to that. Estrogen levels go down. That means that things like osteoporosis, there are 8 million women in the US going through osteoporosis. Bone health is super important, right? You see all these, like all the women, right, with their hands, arthritis, and like we have to really look after ourselves with nutrition, diet, with our lifestyle, so that we can try and prevent, or at least look after ourselves a little bit like more consciously, so
right,
that we can prepare for that phase in life.
Yeah, because you're not ovulating anymore, right? So you're not producing progesterone, and progesterone is not supporting your bones, which is why I always am like so, you know, like vocal about, like, if you don't need to be on birth control, like make sure you're ovulating regularly as long as possible to help, you know, your bones when you can, so you could reduce your chances of osteoporosis in menopause. Because I didn't know that. I didn't have a period for 2 years, and a decade before that it came like once or twice. So I'm so predisposed to it because I wasn't producing progesterone. My mom and grandma have it. I'm like, I wish I knew this. I had no idea.
Right.
And it's so important to know all of this. So that's what's going on hormonally. So some symptoms that you can maybe be experiencing, obviously like hot flashes, we know about, like, what are some of those like key symptoms someone could kind of be looking at because of this like quick shift in your hormones you might be experiencing?
Of course. Yes. And of course, hot flashes is almost number one.
Right.
Night sweats. That's the second one. So, you know, you're sleeping at night, you wake up, you're sweating like crazy. You're like, oh my what is going on. So that's a classic sign. Brain fog is another one, like your that capacity of concentration diminishing. Difficulty sleeping is another one. Anxiety is another one. Changes in your mood. What else?
It's so hard because these. Oh, sorry. Say it again. Oh, weight gain. Okay. Yeah.
Yes.
Vaginal dryness could be one too, right? Hair drying out.
Yes. Skin, everything dries.
Yeah. Cause the estrogen isn't there to lubricate you, right? That's estrogen helps lubricate you. And so that's why that's happening.
Yes. Oh gosh. Yeah. So, vaginal dryness is definitely, and your libido changes too. So,
right. So. And there's so many, you know, some of those symptoms too, like anxiety, brain fog, sleep disturbances, like that could also come from blood sugar dysregulation. Like, it doesn't have to be menopause, but I think it's important to know that this could be it, especially if it's coupled with maybe hot flashes or night sweats or something like that. And just to keep an eye out on it and then maybe go, you know, to your OB or something and get tested for it or whatever. So that's super helpful. Now we could maybe circle back to that. I know some people will listening that will resonate, but most something I really want to take time to talk to you about while I have you here is the endometriosis piece. So, for you with endometriosis and for someone who's listening to this, right? First of all, we already said, obviously pain is not normal, right? So if you're experiencing pain, if you're listening to this podcast, I already know that, but if you're experiencing pain, it's not normal. We have to do something about it. But what you were talking about, how you have really had really heavy periods, the PMS, the painful periods, like all of that could be linked to this like excess estrogen, this inflammation that comes back to endometriosis, right? So can you just explain quickly, like what is endometriosis? And what are like maybe the natural things that you could do to support yourself that maybe you found that helped? Also, you know, if there are things like other than surgery or when it's like, okay, no, you're going to need surgery. Like, is there a certain point where it's like, okay, we've done everything naturally and now we have to go to surgery?
Right. Yes, that's a brilliant question. And I'm glad you're asking because, again, there is so much confusion, right, about what to do. Some doctors are very prone to say, okay, you need surgery right now.
Right.
And there is a factor that we need to consider, which happened to me, in fact, is that depending on the type of surgery, it might impact the quality of your follicles, right? Because let's say scrapping that area, so or touching that area, the ovary. So, so there are consequences to surgery too, right?
Right.
I'm all about do whatever you can yourself first.
Yes.
And nutrition and diet is food is medicine, right?
Amen. Yes.
So, can I tell you so? I'm preaching to the choir, but I'm glad you are doing this. You are really raising awareness about the importance of diet in women's health. And for endometriosis, let's go back to what it is. So
yes,
endometriosis is a tissue similar to the lining of the uterus. It's infiltrated in your ovaries, in your fallopian tubes, somewhere around usually your reproductive organs, usually. However, there are instances, which is crazy, where this infiltration can happen in your eyes.
Wow.
In your lungs. It can happen in your skin. In my case, it was in my colon. So I had the infiltration was so strong that they had to cut my colon and remove that section.
Wow.
So it is such a strange, it's almost like it acts like cancer in a way.
It's spreading.
It spreads somewhere else and nobody knows why. Unfortunately, you know, women's health is so under-researched.
It's ridiculous. And I saw you posted something about like clinical research didn't include women till like 1990 something, 94. 93. Ridiculous. Like that's insane.
Yeah, that was yesterday, right? I mean, that's like so crazy that they didn't include us in aspirin research.
I just wonder why there's so many people struggling with fertility, with endometriosis, like with all of these things, like obviously, like it's so insane to me.
Exactly. So, so yeah. So, so that happens.
And where does it come from? like it's an inflammation, like the endometriosis.
So there are several schools of thought. Mm-hmm. Excess estrogen is definitely, I think,
which can be caused by the inflammation, right? The inflammation can cause the excess estrogen. That's like the school of thought I've seen most, but I'm interested to hear everything else.
Right. And inflammation can have several sources, right? It can be from high levels of stress to the way you eat, whether you're having too much alcohol, too much sugar.
Yeah.
So inflammation can have so many different variants, and we have to be so careful. I believe inflammation is the cause of so many issues.
Yes.
And there is also a school of thought that is it might be an autoimmune condition that, of course, involves hormones. So it's a really, really tough thing to go through. And the symptoms that are usually seen are painful sex, very heavy bleeding, of course, excruciating pain, very strong bloating. It's called endobelly, like it's like a term.
And is that the endobelly? Is that all the time or just around when you get your period?
It depends. I mean, some people PMS. I had it around those 2 weeks of the month. I mean, I always remember going out, you know, like with my girlfriends and having my clutch.
Like covering?
Covering, yeah. Because it feels like you're pregnant. And just so horrible. So, so that's also a key symptom. Mm-hmm. And those are the main ones.
Right.
Pain is, of course, what kind of really disturbs your life. And
Of course. Yeah. I mean, like I've worked with clients where they've like had to take Percocets because it's so painful, or like actually not able to get out of bed because of how painful it is. And just living like that because their doctor's like, oh, it's fine. Like here's some pain medication and like you're on your way. So, let's talk about like, what have you found? Well, I know you had to do the surgery, right? You did 5 surgeries for that. So let's talk about what someone can do. Maybe they're not even diagnosed, right? They're like, I don't know if I have endometriosis or not, or they do know, right? But they're maybe having pain. They're having these painful, heavy periods, whatever it is, whether they have endometriosis or not. It's not like it's going to hurt you if you change your diet in a positive way, regardless. So like, what are some things that you have found are the most supportive net, like nutrition wise, to do or not to do to help support the endometriosis?
Okay, so let's start with foods that you should not take.
Okay, perfect.
Right, so anything that causes inflammation. So gluten is definitely research around gluten, the connection between gluten and endometriosis. And you know, you have to kind of go deeper there, like where does that gluten come from, right?
Right.
Where is that wheat harvested? Are there any fertilizers there? Like you can go
Monsanto
down thing, right? And it's there are so many different things, you know, genetically modified foods, etc. So gluten is definitely an important one.
Which is so interesting. Sorry, before you move on from that you were saying it could endo could possibly be autoimmune because there's a connection with gluten and autoimmune disease as well, with it affecting your thyroid. So it's like there's so many factors that it could play into and just such a loophole, but I love that advice. Okay. So gluten, that's going to help with your inflammation so much.
Absolutely. Like just try, I would say to people, there is no harm in trying. I know it's hard. I mean, I love pizza.
Yeah. But there's so many options now. I'm gluten-free as well. I don't know if you're still gluten-free or not. I personally am also.
I have some weeks I'm like, okay, I'm no gluten. Okay, just a little thing.
Yeah, so. But it's like, it's a lot easier now than when I first started being gluten-free. There were like, you know, the gluten-free crackers and stuff, they tasted like cardboard. Like it was horrible. Now there's really good companies that are making it like taste better. So it is possible, not easy, but it definitely could be possible to do it. And it's a lot easier than being in pain, you know, 50% of your life. So
If you are loving this episode and you are someone who experiences painful periods, PMS, infertility, endometriosis, literally any type of hormone issue, I have two resources that you need to know about. The first is my recipes guide. I newly put this out and I'm so excited about it. It's part of the Mind Your Hormones method, but I actually just updated it because I was like, I want to sell this separately for people who really want plant-based, gluten-free recipes that are hormone balancing, they're anti-inflammatory, they're blood sugar balancing. You don't want to buy a course, you don't want to do whatever, but you're like, I do want recipes to help support me. And let me just tell you, I'm not someone that loves cooking, okay? Like, I mean, I like it, but it's not my favorite thing to do. Yes, I'm a holistic nutritionist, but I don't love being in the kitchen for hours upon hours, especially as a mom. It just does not happen. So all these recipes are super, super simple. Like, Barest minimum amount of time you need to spend in the kitchen is what this is all about. Minimal ingredients, they're all whole food based. Obviously, of course, there are some ingredients in there that are not whole food based, but there's all like tops 10 ingredients in a recipe. Like, they're very, very simple. There's breakfast recipes, lunch, dinner, dessert, it's snack ideas. Like, it's really, really helpful, especially if you are someone who you're like, I just don't really know what to eat. Like, I want to be more plant-based, or I want to go gluten-free. I want to make sure I'm supporting my blood sugar, but like, I don't actually know what to eat. This recipes guide is for you. So I'm going to put the link for that in the show notes for you. I also have an option. You could bundle it together with a 14-day meal plan that I put together using the recipes from the guide. You can't get the meal plan on its own. You have to have the recipes with it. You could totally get just the recipes if you just want that. But if you want to combine it with the 14-day meal plan, so you can get an idea of like exactly what I would eat in a day, how I would pair certain meals and snacks together. And obviously this is going to be different for every person, right? So listen to your body, but I wanted to put that together so you can get an idea of what that could look like from someone who obviously knows how to support your hormones. So that you could bundle together as well. And there are notes in the recipes guide as well as in the 14-day meal plan. If you are pregnant, if you're postpartum, I made specific notes in there if you're breastfeeding so that you know what to add and what to tweak. If you're pregnant, I put notes about all of that too. Okay. Did I just say that already? I think I did. Whatever. There are notes for all of that in there. Okay. So that will be a link for the show notes for you, the recipes guide, the 14-day meal plan. And then I also have a free training that's actually teaching you how to create these hormone balanced meals. So yes, I want you to have this recipes and this 14-day meal plan as a guide for you so you can really get confident in what you're doing. But I also want to teach you how to create these hormone balanced meals. So you could just open up your fridge, open up your pantry, and know exactly what to throw together with ease. This is a training I pulled straight from the Mind Your Hormones method from the blood sugar balancing section of the course, and I made it free for you because I really want to teach you how you can do this. And then, of course, using the recipes and the 14-day meal plan as a guide to really take it to the next level. But this training is totally free. It's called Creating Hormone Balanced Meals. I'll put that link in the show notes for you. I mean, it's going to help you so much. Just feel confident going into your fridge, going into your pantry, going to a restaurant, and knowing exactly how to pair certain foods together. It's going to be amazing. So that is in the show notes for you. Check out all three of those resources. And of course, if you have any questions, you know where to find me, but I can't wait for you to get your hands on this. Oh, so good. All right, let's get back into the episode with Anna.
100%.
Huge. All right. So sorry to cut you off. So your second point was alcohol. Yeah. It's another huge one that increases your estrogen.
Alcohol. I mean, the more I read about it, and again, I've always been kind of like a very balanced type of person. Like, I'm not extreme in any way. I do believe like you have to do stuff that makes you happy too. Like,
right.
Life is long if you're suffering. So
if you're suffering, so true.
So yeah, like, you know, of course, I'm not going to say, you know, stop alcohol, but if you can, again, like try 30 days, no gluten, no alcohol.
Yeah, it's going to be huge.
And reduce sugar as much as possible. Sugar is, again, difficult because sugar is everywhere.
Yeah. I mean,
just like when you read the labels, it's everywhere. But yeah, try to avoid those three things. And then we can talk about what to add.
Yeah. And the easiest way to really do the sugar thing is just have as many whole foods as possible, right? The less packaged things you have, the less you're going to come in contact with sugar. And yeah, the alcohol, I talk about that all the time. And it's like, it affects PCOS, it affects endometriosis, it affects all these things because it's just increasing your estrogen levels that are already high from this. So it's just, there's such a social connection with alcohol that that is probably the hardest part, unless someone is like an addict or something, but that's probably the hardest part of socializing and having that connected to alcohol. But it's like, replace it with something else. Just be, say you're going to be the designated driver and like do it, because it's going to make such a difference. And once you see that you're feeling better, you're going to be like, forget it. I don't even care. I don't want to drink anymore. Right. It's like, once you start seeing the results, you won't care about not having it anymore. So I love those three. That's awesome.
Yes. Yes. We created what I created, a hormonal friendly cocktail list.
Ooh, amazing. Where can we find it?
You can go to hormoneuniversity.com and we have it there.
Perfect.
Free to download. Because, yeah, I'm like, at least make it fun when you're at home, right?
Totally, yeah.
Non-alcoholic, really good ones.
And the holidays, like all of that.
Exactly, exactly.
Yeah, okay, cool.
So that's that. And then meat is another one that, because meat, unfortunately, it's just so hard to get organic, like, or hormone free. Mm-hmm. I struggle trusting, trusting that. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately. So, I've never been a big meat eater, but for those who love meat, like, it is something that it is highly recommended not to take, not to eat. Again, for inflammation purposes.
Yes, I talk about that. My clients who have had endometriosis, that's like one of the things that they've seen the biggest results is going plant-based. And I talk about this all the time because, you know, there's arachidonic acid in it, which is inflammatory also, that is going to just exacerbate that. And that's another thing that people have a hard like tie to. But I always tell people, I'm like, is it harder than being in the pain that you're in right now? Like, it can't be harder than that. Like, I can't imagine living like that. So I'm so glad you said that, because a lot of people won't speak out about that. So I'm so glad that you said that, because it's real. Like, it's science backed. Like, that is
real.
Right there. Amazing.
Totally. And then dairy is another one that is important to cut it off completely.
Mm-hmm.
If you cut off meat, dairy, gluten, alcohol, and sugar.
Mm-hmm.
Those are like the five enemies of endometriosis.
Yes. And even if you don't have endometriosis, doing those things are going to help you no matter what.
Right? Yeah,
so
exactly.
It's going to support your health. And obviously that's like big five heavy hitters, right? And I talk about these too. So I'm glad we're in alignment with that. But you don't have to do it all. I actually don't recommend doing it all at once, right? Because then you're not going to be able to stick to it. And the point is to stick to it as long as possible and to create a lifestyle around it, because it's not like, okay, just get rid of it for 30 days and then go back to eating all of it, because then you're just going to be right back where you started. So, like I always say, do like pick one thing, stick to that for like 30 days, then pick another thing and pick it. This is like a marathon, right? So, if you had, I know it's so hard to choose one. I don't know which one I would choose, but if you had to choose one to start with, not just one, but one to start with, which one would you pick?
Yes. Oh God. It's so,
I know, it's so hard.
I think alcohol is a good one to pick.
Okay. Yeah. Great.
Like, I think it's easy, you know, it's
easier. Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally. Cause you're not having it as frequently.
Yeah. Maybe combine alcohol and meat, like take two away and start there. And perfect. I think that can make a big, big difference.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can do other things to get rid of that excess estrogen. You can do infrared sauna, like sweating is great.
Amazing.
Really, really great to get rid of excess estrogen. Infrared sauna, I find it's fantastic.
Amazing. And how often would you recommend doing that?
Well, I guess it depends. I mean, I do it. I still do it. I love it. Like every couple of weeks. It depends also if the seasons, of course, you know.
Right.
That's now it's the perfect time to restart in kind of more of a frequent way.
Mm-hmm.
But every couple of weeks or every week, once a week, you just go. I have one of those portable ones. You put on your bed and you just go in.
Oh, cool. Okay. Do you have a specific one that you like?
I love, yes. It's called Higher Dose.
Okay.
That's the brand. And it's a little bit expensive, but I see it as an investment.
Yes, right.
It's important, you know, I think it's really, really important to just invest in your health. Sometimes we spend money on like dresses and whatever.
Oh my God. I mean, if you like add up what you spend on Amazon, it's like, what am I buying?
Right.
What did I just buy?
Exactly. And then, yeah, lifestyle wise, stress truly, truly, affects us, that inflammation. So looking at, you know, doing breathing exercises.
Yes.
That's really important. Doing whatever makes you happy, sports wise, right?
Pilates
or yoga or whatever, something that calms you down, that takes your mind away from all the stresses of life. Try not to watch the news too often. If possible.
Yeah. Oof, that's a quick way to dysregulate your system.
Yeah, exactly. And if you allow me, of course, I'm going to also say you should use our period SOS.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, go ahead. So what is it? So it's a cream?
Yeah. So effectively what happened after that horrible journey, I could not find non-hormonal but evidence-based solutions for me.
Mm-hmm.
I had a major side effect with hormonal treatment after that last surgery.
So did they put you on progestin cream or something?
No, it was pills and it was a combination of progestin and estrogen. And
okay.
I don't know whether they gave me the wrong dosage, but...
That's scary.
I had a major side effect with a black clot in one of my legs and...
Oh my gosh.
Life-threatening, so I had to stop immediately. And after all of that, right? So as if,
like, you haven't gone through enough. Like, right. Let's just add it on. Oh my God.
Yeah, but you know what? That was the start of me thinking, okay, wait a minute. I have no idea about hormonal health.
One, right. We didn't learn about that.
Right. And B... I've been given medication throughout my life. I mean, the pill, I can't even tell you how many years.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, it had a terrible, terrible effect. So I'm one of those, for us at Harvard University, I don't like dictating what people do or not do with medication, et cetera. What I just say to people and to your audience is just, inform yourselves.
100%. Like, yes.
Find out about what are the possible side effects, consequences, and let's ignore.
Right. And like, what can you do naturally first before you go on it or in tandem with it, right? So that maybe you don't have to stay on it for forever. Maybe you're just on it for a little bit and then you could come off of it or something. Like, we sometimes just think it's the only option because it's the only option presented to us. So what is this called? You said PMS cream. What is it?
Oh, it's called Period SOS.
Oh, Period SOS. Okay, I love it. And what's in it?
So this is the cream, and I chose a cream because we chose creating topical, we call them topical supplements.
Right.
Because for a couple of reasons. One is I find it's so confusing to choose sometimes the right supplement.
Mm-hmm.
And we wanted to create something different that wouldn't affect your gut. And it's something just also like a differentiation, right? As a brand.
Yeah.
So it's, we've got an amazing medical board and a brilliant nutritionist and RD.
Amazing.
And so these are all natural ingredients. So hormone-free, we've got Vitex, marshmallow root, and Valium root.
Ooh.
And Valium root, for those who don't know, has an extract called diosgenin, and diosgenin is actually what the pharma companies used to create the pill.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So yeah, we did a huge amount of research with alumni from Columbia University here in New York, and we found that using the actual natural extract was very potent and
amazing,
really beneficial. When applied through your skin. So
yeah. So who is this cream for? Like what symptoms will it help? Do you put it just like on your stomach?
Yes, you can put it in your stomach. You can also, I mean, I apply it here all the time.
On your arm, your forearm?
On your arm and inner thighs as
okay.
well.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So same places they would tell you to put like a progesterone cream.
Yes.
Pretty much. Okay. And like, do you use this all the time, certain times of the month? What symptoms is it helpful for?
Sorry, New York noise.
Yeah, I'm on Long Island, so I understand.
So you use it daily like any other supplement.
Okay.
We do recommend that you take a break after 2 months.
Okay.
But the results have been outstanding. So for those, we've done 4 studies now. We've got thousands of women that have used the cream with
amazing,
really, really outstanding testimonials. I mean, I've interviewed customers and I've had people cry. You've changed my life. Thank you so much.
So for cramps and PMS and all of cramps, that?
Bloating, PMS, mood changes.
Okay.
It's a multi-symptom approach because it basically induces the hormonal balance between estrogen and progesterone.
Which is that's the cause of everything, right? That's why people have PMS, is because of the imbalance between there. So that's so amazing. So it's another natural thing you could do. We'll obviously put all the links in the show notes for anyone who wants to get access to that. It's called Glow, you said? Period SOS.
SOS.
And Glow is the name of
Glow by Hormone University.
Yes. Okay, perfect. So we'll put all of it in the show notes as well. Of course. Yeah. So, all right. So those are things we could cut out. That's like some things we could add in. And then, what would you say for someone who is like, maybe they've been doing stuff for a while to help heal their endometriosis? Surgery is a topic of conversation. Like, what do you think is like that line of like, okay, here's when you've done all the natural things and now we need to go to surgery. Is there a time frame that you suggest? Like, what does that look like for you?
Yes. Look, when you've done everything you can and under your power, from like cutting off all those foods that we just discussed, and doing all the right lifestyle things.
Working with someone, really, honestly, I think is so huge, especially if you're wanting to reduce your chances of surgery. Just have an outsider looking in and to just really help guide you through that process, especially for something like this. Like, surgery is something major and you don't want to just go into it if there were other things that you could do to help yourself.
Right. Exactly. Mm-hmm. So when surgery, I believe, is needed when your life has been massively impacted by pain.
Right. Right.
When you can't, I mean, I had instances where I was crawling on the floor. It was that bad. And so when you get to that point, that's the time to really talk to a doctor and understand what is going on, right?
Mm-hmm.
Ultrasound, like really get deep into what is going on and understand what kind of surgery they're recommending. I mean, laparoscopy is a very common one. So it's like I can never say it.
Minimal?
Invasive.
Right.
So yeah, because
No, it's okay. I just wanted to know, did you make any natural changes before you did your surgery, or you didn't know about it at the time?
So going back 5 surgeries ago, I wish, and I truly get very sad about this. And you know, when I have women with both endo and PCOS telling me how much our cream is helping them.
Mm-hmm.
Like I have cried so many times, right?
Yeah.
I wish I knew what I know now.
Mm-hmm.
I made 2 mistakes. One, I was silent. I was very silent about this.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a great career, you know, and I was like, oh, you know, like I felt embarrassed talking about it.
Yeah, yeah.
So that was a huge mistake.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was just following orders. Let me put it that way, right?
Mm.
Doctors, no, this is the only way you can deal with this is surgery. Okay, surgery number one, then surgery number 2, then surgery number 3.
Which causes inflammation too.
So I really wish I, you know, and that's why my company is such a like very deep personal mission, because I don't want anyone to go through that.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever we can contribute to knowledge and education and products that can help women, then it's the most fulfilling thing I've ever done in my life. But unfortunately, I didn't have that knowledge and I didn't have someone to work with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Someone like you to work with, right?
Yeah.
Tell me, don't eat these, don't do that.
Yeah.
You know, make a plan, right? And try and prevent as much as possible.
Yeah. And it's so many people can connect with that of like, oh, I wish I knew. And it can be so frustrating, but it's also like, this is why you created this movement and this mission. And now that you're helping thousands and thousands of women, it's like, if you didn't go through that, not that you would wish that on yourself, of course, but it's like, you know, it could feel like such a mistake, but it's like, that was your path so that you could, you know, really be a champion for women and be super vocal about it now and let other people know that there are other options available. So as horrible as it must have been to have to go through that, it's like, look at the other side of it, of like how you created all of this. So it's like, you really turned that traumatic experience into something that actually matters. And I feel like so many of us in this space or in any space, like an entrepreneurial way, you got into it because of something you went through. Right. So, I'm so great, not so grateful that happened to you, but I'm so glad that you turned it into something and made it so that other women don't have to suffer like that and suffering in silence. Cause again, especially when it's our period and hormones have made like so taboo. It's like, oh, we can't talk about that. You can't talk about your vagina. You can't talk about blood. Like you can't talk about all these things. And it's like, someone needs to talk about it because like, we're all just sitting here. Like I didn't learn shit about this in school. Like, what are we supposed to do? Like no one tells us. So, can you tell us a little bit about Hormone University? Like what actually is it? Like what resources are there? Like, you know, how can someone just like dive into all of that? Like what could they expect? All of that stuff.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for asking me, that question. I turned pain into mission, right?
That's
what I say. And Hormone University was the first thing I started thinking about that education. And we have a newsletter called The Waiting Room. And again, I did it because I'm like, wait a minute, you're in that waiting room to you know, waiting to see your doctor. And you're like, you don't know, you're there like being so reactive because you are trusting that person, right, to tell you what you should be doing. So we call it the waiting room because we want every woman to inform themselves and to advocate for themselves, to really ask the right questions and the right questions for them. So if a doctor says you should take this medication or do this or do that, like, okay, so why? And what are the consequences? What are the side effects? And can you tell me? And this is my genetic predisposition for whatever reason. I'm, you know, grandmother might have had cancer, whatever it is, right?
Right.
The main goal of Hormone University is to empower and to, and I know that word is like so cliche. Everyone talks about empowerment, but
no, it's important.
It is really that. I mean, yes. It's like, read as much as you can. Mm-hmm. I know we all have like our attention span is like getting shorter and shorter, but yeah. I really recommend reading those articles. There is one, by the way, I collected the top books for hormonal health, and there are quite a few there for endometriosis.
Amazing. So okay. Article
about that. We've got tons of articles about nutrition, inflammation, nutrition, endometriosis and nutrition, fertility, egg freezing, so many different things that I know, right? I've been through it. So I know this is, you know, a massive worry. So that's one goal. The second goal is we've got a symptom checker. So there is a link there. It took us a long time to create it. And actually quite a few doctors have asked us if they can replicate it in their own practice.
Wow. Amazing.
Very thorough, but it takes like 5-7 minutes and it will, depending of course on what you choose, it will tell you whether you've got like severe hormonal imbalance or not. Mm-hmm.
Amazing.
So that was an important, we believe an important thing to have available for women to kind of like, okay, this is my first step.
Yeah.
And we've got information about hormonal testing and mineral testing and all sorts of tests. You know, that's another important subject. Right.
It's a whole nother topic.
Right.
Go down a whole nother rabbit hole.
Yes. And then we have a product line.
Yes. Do you have a product for menopause or perimenopause? I'm assuming you do. Okay. Yeah. So which one is that?
We've got period SOS and we've got menopause SOS.
Okay. So, cause I know we touched on that in the beginning. So if you were listening and you're like, I think I might be a perimenopause or a menopause, or you have parents that are or whatever. And we want some natural solutions. Okay. Menopause SOS. And it's a cream based as well. Okay. Perfect.
So yes, cream based. And, again, it's, really wonderful for night sweats, hot flashes, libido.
Amazing.
libido. We've seen
yes. that. Okay. Perfect stocking stuffer for your yes. parents or for your friends or for yourself or whatever coming up the holidays or whatever it is. Yes. And for libido, great. Who doesn't want to yes. improve that?
Exactly. And so then we've got the SOS line, which is period and menopause. And then we've got stress and sleep. So we've got a wonderful lotion that has magnesium, collagen, and evening primrose oil.
Ooh, perfect.
So really wonderful ingredients.
Amazing.
Like a body lotion that you just put on every single day. Most of us are magnesium deficient.
100%. Everybody is.
Right. It's so important. So we've had just someone email me just earlier saying, I've got restless legs. And this
Oh, it's so good for that.
My holy grail. I love it. So we've got restless legs for anxiety, for stress, sleeping issues. It's a really wonderful product.
Oh, amazing. Okay, good. I'm so excited. I'm going to link all of this in the show notes for everybody. So if someone right now has endometriosis and they're like, you know, maybe feeling discouraged or they don't know what to do, they don't know where to start, like maybe they've been down this rabbit hole, like what would be a piece of advice you would give them? Like on this journey that they might be on, whether they're in the beginning of it, the middle of it, usually they're probably not in the beginning of it. The person listening to this most likely has been, you know, dealing with this for quite some time. So like, what is a little words of wisdom you would give them?
Yes. So information is power. So read about it. Like I said earlier, like there are tons of articles that we provide, but work with someone from the very beginning.
Yeah.
Someone like you. So diet, food is medicine. Mm-hmm. Talk about it. Please change your diet. If you haven't started doing that, like small steps, but they're mm-hmm. going to definitely make a difference.
Yeah, because so it will change it. Like that's right. The thing you need to know.
Exactly. So work with someone because, you know, accountability is huge for anything we do in life.
Yeah.
If you try it by yourself, you know, it's kind of tough.
Yeah.
So, and talking about accountability, it is important, you know, community, like talk to other women that are going through endo or have gone through endo. Mm-hmm. I'm happy. Like I get tons of emails and I'm always happy to help. Amazing. In any way I can. Because I think it's like, you know, we call each other endo sisters, you know.
Yeah.
It's like endo warriors, endo sisters.
Because you don't get it until you get it. You know, yes. Like you don't understand it till you've been through it.
Exactly that. So surround yourself with people that have gone through it or are going through it that truly know what to do and they're doing the right things. It's going to help you like get inspired. Mm-hmm. Work with someone on diet and lifestyle.
Yeah.
Such as Corinne, right?
You're so sweet.
and inform yourself as much as you can. Ask the right questions.
Yeah.
It's really, doctors these days, I mean, I feel bad too for them. You know, they say to us all the time, we don't have time, right?
Yeah, right. They don't get the education. They get the support around it. Like it's, I always say it's the education system's problem. Like it's not the doctors. Yeah. With that, if someone has gone through surgery, because the last thing I want to ask you, if someone has gone through surgery or they're about to, is there anything that maybe like hindsight or maybe you did this while you were going through it, anything that you can recommend to support them before or after, whether it's mentally, physically, whatever it is?
Yes, absolutely. I find meditation is actually really important before surgery. Like ground yourself,
love that.
Stay present and pray in your own way, whatever works for you.
Mm-hmm.
I think that, you know, and journaling, like everything that you're going through and like throwing your thoughts in there. I think that's very powerful. Breath work, I find it very powerful.
Yes, me too. Oh my God, we're kindred spirits. I'm like, yes,
yeah, we are,
everything
right?
You say, I love it. So powerful, moves that energy.
Yes. Because the moment you know you're going into surgery, like it's very important how you're feeling, and your cortisol levels, your stress levels, like down, right?
Yeah.
Down. Put yourself first. Like we are as women such givers, right?
Yeah.
Put yourself first, create those boundaries and look after yourself before you go into surgery. Eat the right things and it's those are like the, as a minimal, like right, you should be doing.
So amazing. Oh my God. Thank you so much for being on and chatting with us. Can you let everyone know where to find you on Instagram, your handles? I know you said hormoneuniversity.com. We'll put the links in there, in the show notes, but how can they find you on Instagram? Any other socials you might be on?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's at Hormone University, all in one word. If I've got my personal one, is Anna, A-N-A-G Herrera.
We'll put this in the show notes as well.
Yeah. Yeah, hormoneuniversity.com. You've got the brand, you've got the education, you've got the symptom checker, you've got
so good
resources.
So, amazing. Yeah.
Feel free to get in touch with us. We love talking to our community.
Oh, oh my God. Thank you so much, Anna, for being here and for sharing this information. I know listeners are going to love this. If you love this episode, if you got anything away from it, share this on your Instagram story and tag Anna or Hormone University and myself. Or if you're like, I feel funny sharing this, just DM her and let her know like how helpful it was. It's so powerful for our listeners to get that feedback. To know that like what they, you know, were sharing with us made a difference, and just send this to a friend who maybe might be going through something like this. It's so important to spread this information far and wide. So Anna, thank you again so much for being here. I appreciate your time and for sharing this with our community.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you so much for being here. If you loved this episode and learned something valuable, please share it with a friend who you think would also love it, or post it on social media and tag me so I could personally say thank you for helping me spread this important message. I am beyond grateful to be here with you. So until next time, stay intentional, stay consistent, and always mind your hormones.